Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, guys, and welcome to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is your host, Felicia DeRozier, and I've got my amazing, fabulous, and always awesome co-host today.
Cross. Favorite.
There's nobody to compare you to anymore, buddy.
Okay. Now no one can argue.
Now no one can argue with you. Okay. Well, today we are getting ready for a Bible study. We're going to probably have a little bit of a short show today.
Have any guests, and Mom's in one of preparedness to teaching, so.
I mean, I don't know. I can talk. So, to be honest, it's not just that I didn't want to prepare an extra teaching, but things have been a little chaotic around here. We had a lot to do, and Mariah went in for a procedure yesterday, and so I spent all day at the hospital. She's doing great, by the way. So thank you for those of you who've been praying for her. She's doing awesome.
I mean, if you told me a little earlier, I could have done something.
You know what? You should probably just always have something prepared. And I am, yes, indeed, just getting over a cold, so I'll try not to cough too much during this episode. But, and Cross is too. We were sharing illnesses. So before we get our Bible study going, though, let's cut to commercial break. Are you ready for that?
Nope.
Never, huh? Okay, well, we'll see you guys soon.
That's right. The Jokers and Jesters Comedy Tour is back on the road. We are currently promoting our second Amazon Prime special, Jokers and Jesters, the next special. We will be touring small towns across this great country of ours. So for our tour dates, follow us on Facebook at Jokers and Jester Comedy Tour, or at our website, jokersandjester.com. It's a great night of music, laughter, and magic. Don't miss us as we come to a small town near you.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce. I want to tell everyone about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal. Flip-flops are the most worn shoe. Even in America, almost everyone wears cheap flip-flops during the summer, sometimes even all year long. It's because they don't want to wear shoes, but there is 60 years of social stigma to overcome. Most people think it is illegal to drive a car, go to a store, or eat in public without shoes on. The fact is, there are zero laws, health department stuff, insurance regulations, etc., about going barefoot. Not only that, it is actually safer and more healthy to go barefoot than wear most shoes that we have been wearing for the last half century. Please check out the website barefootislegal.org and check out all of our social media. Going barefoot is safe, healthy, and legal. Barefootislegal.org.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, we're back, and we're really excited about today's teaching, right?
Yep, because Mom's got her high-tech iPad.
I do. We've switched to being a little bit more high-tech around here. I have it on my iPad. We are all ready. And today, so just so you know, if you're just joining us for the first time, we are in the book of John, the Gospel of John. But I was talking to Mariah. I'm not sure if this is episode 8 or 9, I'm going to be honest, okay? I'm not sure. I'm never sure. Okay, so...
I mean, I don't know either, but...
But to the point, we've been in...
Shame.
We've already been in the Gospel of John for a couple months, okay? Like, let's put it that way. And one of the interesting things about our Bible study is we're not trying to get through the book of John. That's not the goal. Like, we will eventually get through the book of John, but the goal is to take notice every time that God brings up a new interesting point about theology, about his gospel, about the character of Jesus, the nature of God, and just stop and take a look. It's almost like we're doing a Bible study in the stop and smell the roses along the way type of a fashion, not in the, gosh, let's get through this book kind of a fashion, which is a very different approach, right?
Oh, yes.
So
we're Romans through Romans, now we're
journeying through John. Okay, so Romans through Romans. It took us 49 weeks to roam through Romans. So,
but Romans has less Roman chapters.
Right. It was a lot shorter. Twice as long. I expect we'll be here for a couple years. So we're still in. It could be a couple years. Yes. So we're still. He's like, I'm gonna age out before you're done. I know, you want to hit the book of Acts, too, before we go, right?
I want to hit Acts and Judges, and I don't know if both of those are possible.
Oh, Judges would be amazing, too.
Yeah.
Never done anything Old Testament. That could be fun. So, okay, so check this out.
I would, like, totally host Judges.
I bet you would. I bet you would. You know, we could maybe even look at doing an additional, when you get older and ready for that, maybe we could even just get an extra airtime and do a second show. Anyway.
Thank you, Riley. We could do both, like, John and Acts at the same time on separate shows.
I mean, not John and Acts. I want Acts. You do Judges.
Yeah. Sorry.
We're having this whole discussion on air. Let's get to the Bible study, okay?
Okay. Bible study. Yeah, pay attention to the Bible study, not
us. So soon enough, you might have something hosted by Cross, okay? And where I get to assist instead. That would be cool. Okay, so.
Take a little snarky comments like I do.
That would be great. So, but I think the Old Testament is really cool. I think that it's very, very overlooked. We don't spend a lot of time in the Old Testament as Protestants, as,
is like my second favorite book, so.
Right, but what's cool is that no matter which book in the Old Testament you pick, you find Jesus and that redemptive arc, that story of God, still coming in and being faithful to his people and trying to save his people from eternal destruction. That's so cool. So I see value in that. I think that we could do that. It would be fun.
Yeah.
So, but let's talk about today's scripture. You're going to open up your book to John chapter 1, and we're going to be in verses 29 through 36. Now, I think we actually covered a couple of these verses last week, but fear not, we have a new theme today. We have a new theme today. Because of a conversation I had with my father. And, it was a great conversation. He was asking some poignant questions. And then when I reread this chapter, I was like, oh, it's right there. Let's talk about it. Because it just happened to be the thing that he was asking some questions about. So let's get into it. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Oh, this chapter.
This is the one I meant when I said, a man comes after me who surpasses me and who went before me. Actually, hold on. I want to, I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave his testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself didn't know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this is God's chosen one. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, look, the Lamb of God. Okay. So here's what's really interesting that kind of comes from this conversation I was having with my dad the other day, and that is you hear a lot of talk about how they heard God speak, they heard God's voice, God told them to do something, right? Like, these are really broad terms. Well, God said this. And if you're a newer Christian or an experienced Christian, or if you aren't a Christian at all, it can be super confusing. Like, what do you mean? So like, Big Daddy upstairs is talking to you? Like, I've literally had people tell me that. Like, Big Daddy upstairs, he talks to you? Yeah, okay, yeah, he does.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so let's talk about this, because we do use this term rather nonchalantly, as if everybody's just hearing from God. Okay.
Big Daddy upstairs talks to them.
He does. So we're going to talk a little bit about what does that really look like? I mean, like, are you having conversations? Like, I mean, sometimes? Yeah, sometimes?
But that's really rare.
That is rare. So what do we mean when we say, well, God told me to do this or God spoke this? So one of the more interesting aspects of the Christian faith
is... Well, I had a conversation with God.
He did. Well, so we're actually going to talk about different biblical stuff, and by no means is my list exhaustive. So you should actually have a lot of ideas of things that we can add to this list, because I just kind of did a brief outline, but there are examples of this all over the Bible. And then there are even some examples of where I know people who are strong in the faith have told me that God's spoken to them, but they're not necessarily biblical examples. We'll talk about those too, okay? So one of the more interesting aspects of the Christian faith is the insistence that both Scripture and believers have made claiming that God speaks and interacts directly with his people. Phrases like God spoke to me, God showed me something, God revealed to me are pretty common, and this can be very confusing to some people. Clearly the story of the Bible, which is God's interaction with his created world, talks at length about God speaking to his people. But do we still see God speaking today, or is this just relegated to the page of the Bible? So if you're not sure if you've ever heard from God, I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you feel so much better about life, and it may be the end of the message for you right here. If you're saved, you've already heard the voice of God. Okay? At some point, he called you, whether you heard it or there was a feeling that welled up in you, or you have had this sort of interaction with God. So no one who is a Christian can ever say, I can't hear from God. I don't have spiritual ears to hear from God. That's not true. You are saved. Therefore, on at least one occasion in your life, you have heard from God, and it's not at all unrealistic to expect to hear from him again moving forward. Now, let's look specifically at the Scripture, because we can actually see God speaking to people in four different ways in this one Scripture. Can you believe that? That's crazy, right? And then we'll talk about some other examples as well. Okay? So in this moment of time, God's clearly speaking to his people. He has a message he wants to get out, and that is that he has sent Messiah, and that it is his son, and this is the person. Okay, this is God's big reveal, okay? It reminds me of, like, you know those, like, Ultimate Home Makeover shows where they take the family out and they redo the house, and then they're like, and here's the big reveal, and they move the buses so that the family can see their new fancied-up home, and everybody's so excited and crying. This is, like, God's big reveal of his son to the world, okay? First of all, let's talk about how God's speaking. He can speak to the mind, okay? And so it's clear through this passage, although it doesn't really say whether it was audible, but most of the time when people say God spoke to them, they're talking about this inner dialogue that God has with them. It's clear through this passage that although John the Baptist must have known his cousin Jesus, like probably knew who each other were, that he was not aware that Jesus was Messiah because it had not yet been revealed to him. This wasn't something that Mary was talking about, apparently, at the family reunion. Okay, well, I mean, so the scripture...
Well, she told Elizabeth... Well, no, she didn't tell Elizabeth. Elizabeth already knew.
Elizabeth knew.
She would have thought Elizabeth would have mentioned to her son, oh, by the way, your cousin's the Messiah.
But, you know, like, but we don't know. She was prophesying at that time. We don't know. Was she aware of what she was saying? Who knows? So, anyway... Clearly, this was not something that Mary was bringing up at all the family reunions, right? This wasn't something that was talked about because otherwise John would have known that Jesus was Messiah from a young age. On top of that, remember, Elizabeth and Mary didn't exactly live close to each other, okay? So I'm going to imagine that family reunions are fairly rare. You know what I'm saying? It's a long walk. Like, how often are extended family members really seeing each other? Unless you're trying to hide a pregnancy from public or whatever, which is, you know, why Mary ends up at Elizabeth's house in the first place, right? Okay. So, anyway, the Bible often says that Mary kept information close to her heart rather than sharing it openly. In verse 30, John says that he had no idea who he was looking for, but that God had given him this clue. Okay? So it's like God says, okay, I'm not going to tell you who, but you're going to see this happen, and when this happens, that's your guy. In verse 33, John talks about being sent to baptize. Wait a minute. So he didn't just get up one morning and say, oh, I'm going to go baptize people? No. He was sent. This was important to God, that he go and start baptizing people. It was part of the plan that he go and baptize people, and he was specifically told to do so. We can see that in verse 33. Here, he's also told how to recognize the Messiah when he sees him. Clearly, John heard from God in some very specific instructions, so he either heard God speak audibly or as an internal dialogue through the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to venture to say that that sounds like one of those instances of that internal dialogue through the Holy Spirit. Secondly, God speaks through visions and dreams. When we look at verse 32, it says that John recognizes the Messiah through the promised sign of the Holy Spirit. It's unclear, interestingly enough, I kind of thought this was on display for everybody. I guess I just had not read it enough to recognize. It is actually unclear as to whether or not everyone else could see the sign. Okay, so we don't really know whether or not this was some big external example of some miraculous occurrence, or if this was a vision that was given to John alone.
Right.
I think that we can pretty well assume, based on what is written, because I checked out all four Gospels, that this was something that John saw and then testified to, okay? So he saw heaven open up, and he saw the Holy Spirit come and rest upon Jesus, and then he heard God's voice, okay? So,
I would say something that's going to hurt your theory a little bit. John was one of the disciples that traveled with John.
Okay.
So John would have told his disciples about the vision.
Yes.
And he and they would have probably written it down.
Okay, so John
and
wrote
John
it down, and it says that John gave me this testimony. Oh, gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him.
Yeah, that's what should have happened. Okay.
Okay. So to the point is, when I look through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those Gospels that recorded this story, all talk about John testifying to seeing it. And so I think that it's fairly safe to assume that while maybe somebody else did see it, This was something that was either happening in the spiritual realm and was just revealed to John, or it was a vision that was explicitly meant for John. You know, so he either has discernment or just a vision. But it was just John. Okay, like, so he's testifying to other people what he saw in there. So God can speak through visions and dreams. John recognizes the Messiah through the promised sign of the Holy Spirit. But he can clearly see the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus. Now, I personally think that this was a discernment where God's kind of allowing that whole veil between what's spiritual and what's tactile and worldly and earthly to merge temporarily where you can see it. However, clearly a vision is something that, you know, John wasn't like, oh my gosh, God's talking to me this way. Clearly this is something that's happened to him and he's not put off by it. Okay. So, an audible voice. Okay. So when we read this exact same count in Luke, we see it in Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Cross is going to look this up for us so we can actually see it in the Bible. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And in this incident, it's recorded in these other Gospels. So you actually see it parallel to some of the Synoptic Gospels as well. And I liked Luke's rendition, so I pulled it. one of the details that's mentioned elsewhere is that there was an audible voice from heaven. Okay, can you read that from Luke chapter 3, 22?
And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.
Okay, so check this. A couple things about Luke. He says that the Holy Spirit descended on him
in bodily form.
Okay, so that gives us a little bit more detail about this vision, right? What do you think? Do you think that that was vision, or do you think that was probably discernment? I'm feeling discernment. I'm feeling like if there was like a bodily form of the Holy Spirit coming down on him, he's hearing audible voices. It sounds like what he's actually just seeing into the spiritual realm. Okay. There are other instances where the Bible records God speaking to people with an audible voice outside the dialogue of their head. Okay, so a lot of people experience this small whisper of God's voice in their head, right? Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, God gets all dramatic on us. Okay, because the Holy Spirit can talk to you from within you. That's
like Elijah.
Right, okay, Elijah's a good one. The one I was thinking of was
Jeremiah.
Was Samuel.
Oh, that's fun.
That's a good one because... that's a really good one because Samuel spends a bunch of time answering this audible voice of God, but it's clear that it's audible and not in his head. Why? Because he keeps going to the priest Eli.
I'm saying, did you call me?
Did you call me? Like,
I did not call you. Go back to bed.
Right. And then I guess that after like the third time that he gets out of bed, he's like, oh yeah, no, that's probably God speaking to you. Maybe you need to listen to that. So it's just like a whole chapter, so we're not going to read it, but if you want to look that up, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 3, that we see the calling of Elijah, or we see the calling of Samuel and him hearing this audible voice of God. And so finally, we see a fourth way. This is kind of crazy. This is why I was like, oh, no, we got to teach on this, okay? We see a fourth way that God's speaking to people. If you look in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 36, we read the whole thing, but maybe, you know, it's been long enough at this point. Maybe we need to refresh our memories. John chapter 1, 35 through 36.
Nope, that's definitely not it. I did 3 instead of 35.
John 1:35.
Wait. Ah. John 1. Oh.
There you go. He's trying to use the digital Bible, and usually it works really well, but okay.
Do you want me to read all of it?
Yeah, just 35 and 36.
Okay. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God."
Okay. So check this out. Another way that God often communicates with us is to use people in our lives, or even sometimes angels, to communicate his message and truth to us.
Angels are fun.
Right? Well, angels mean the messenger of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So often, John has proclaimed the coming of Messiah, but now that God's identified Jesus as Messiah, he continues to proclaim the word to the world around him. The Bible is full of examples of prophets speaking forth God's word to his people, and it still happens today, right? So, this is just another example of how sometimes God will speak to us, okay? Is that sometimes he uses godly people or even not godly people to share something that God wants to tell us. I mean, when I say even not godly people, like he's used a donkey, right? There's this whole story
about
how Balaam's donkey was probably not saved, but certainly filled with the Spirit or something because he was talking. And I find
what,
it interesting.
Donkeys can't just talk English on their own?
I don't know. I find it interesting that Balaam just sits and has a conversation with the donkey. Like, what is going
fun,
on here?
Right?
Like, at one point, you would be like, wouldn't you be a little shocked that your donkey was talking? Anyway. So
he was pretty mad at it, so.
He was pretty mad.
I don't think he'd be giving it praise.
He was
being able to talk.
I don't know, donkey talking donkey. Okay.
Donkey.
So there's other ways that God speaks to us, right? God's not just limited to these four methods. I mean, really, God is without limit, but let's talk about some of the other methods that we have seen recorded in the Bible, but that we know about. And I can already tell you one that I forgot to put on this list, but we'll talk about it as well. Okay, so God speaks through his word. Whenever we read God's word, you can expect to hear him minister to us through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we just feel the results of this in our heart, while other times, like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I have, where, like, the words just seem to, like, leap off the page almost. It's a really wonderful idea to journal as you study God's word so that you can keep a record of this kind of revelation of his word. Does God ever speak to you through his word that way? He's deep in thought, folks. He's thinking.
Dang, everyone has thinking.
I know for me, probably the very first time I read through the Bible, I hit 2 Samuel all about David. And, it just was, I don't know how to say, it was just a different experience. It didn't feel like reading. It was like the words were just ministering to me in a different kind of way. And that was really an amazing experience. And sometimes reading the Bible is just reading the Bible. Like, I'm not going to lie, okay? Like, I study the Bible a lot. I spend a lot of time in God's Word. Sometimes it's just reading the Bible. And then other times I can just really feel the power of his Word just ministering to me. So it can be a unique experience that way.
I think for me was probably Judges, because that, like, whole book as a whole, not, like, the individual stories, but the whole book shows how God uses really, 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 really corrupt people.
Very inadequate people. but
they're
that's making
up.
Right, they are. They're all, well, I think Deborah's kind of okay. Deborah's cool, but it goes like, it goes from Deborah to worse, right?
Yeah. And like, one of my favorite videos, they're like, and the progression here shows how the judges go from pretty good to okay, to bad, to worse.
To like, wow, like, you don't even know the God you serve. Like, yeah, so.
Oh, yeah, J-Path.
Yeah. So,
J-Path, yeah.
J-Path has no idea about the God that he serves. Like, the whole point of this whole, like, Isaac and Abraham on Mount Moriah experience was to show that God didn't want
their children
sacrifice. That was the whole point of that.
If he had read, like,
right.
Any of it.
Like, the wages of sin are death, but God wants to find a better way. Like, that's
What is the story of the Bible, y'all?
Right. There's a spiritual law that's been put into place since the foundations of the planet, but God is looking for another way, both to honor that spiritual law, but also to save his people. So he completely misses it. Okay, so let's talk about another way. God can speak through supernatural manifestations. Okay, burning bush experience, road to Damascus. These kinds of communication are rare, but certainly not out of the question. God can do these sorts of things. And he can and will use supernatural events and manifestations to speak to his people. Can you think of any other instances of that? Like, I wrote down the two, but I'm like, oh, yeah, there's this.
And what was it?
Supernatural manifestations.
You're using lots of big words.
Okay, so when God interrupts the natural flow of how things go, to manifest, which means to reveal his power and glory. Make sense? How about the pillar of fire and the cloud by day?
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole thing, right?
The storm with Elijah.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So he's looking to hear God's voice, and there's the earthquake. Right, there's the earthquake, and there's the storm, and it ends up that God's voice.
God's kind of like, hint, hint.
He's got all the power, but his voice is in this sweet whisper. Another thing I'm thinking is when Jesus was crucified, there was an earthquake, the sun went dark, and then
the veil is torn
from the top to the bottom in
the
temple.
Okay, you guys want to know something really cool?
Yeah.
Tell me something really cool. So the veil was actually separating the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple.
That's right.
So, but the Holy of Holies was where heaven and earth met. So it was literally separating, in a metaphorical manner, heaven and earth.
Right.
And when Jesus died, he reunited heaven and earth.
Right. So he created.
And so the veil tore.
Right. So the point of the Holy of Holies was to create a clean place where God's Spirit could dwell, right?
Right.
But now Jesus creates the clean place. And that allows the Holy Spirit to dwell within us.
Right.
That's why we're God's temple. Boom. Okay. So I still have quite a bit of
teaching
left. But I'm just thinking to myself, like, we don't have a guest. Why don't we cut to commercial break, and then we'll come back and finish the rest of it, okay?
Okay.
All right. We'll see you guys in just a second.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67% with grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marti.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marti.com. Marti.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marti.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marti.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money, so check out Marty.com.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to WeFunder.com/GroundswellCard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
All right, so we're back. We're talking about ways that God can speak to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this one's interesting. So we've already talked about the four ways that God spoke in the instance of Jesus' baptism to John, right? He spoke to him through a vision. He spoke to him within an internal dialogue at one point. There was an audible voice, and then he spoke to the crowds of people through God's messenger who happened to be John the Baptist, right? And then we went over a couple other ways that we can hear God speaking to us, that he can speak through his word, and through supernatural manifestations, which we just said was interrupting regular natural things with God's awesome power, right? Okay, so he says you're using long words, so I'll not use long words and not say supernatural manifestation.
I'm sorry.
we'll talk about God interrupting the natural with his awesome and glorious power.
See, and, why did you just say that?
Because supernatural manifestation is so much easier.
No, it's not.
But now you know what it means. Okay, so, but thank you for letting me know that that was a difficult one for you to understand. So we went back and said something about that. So God also speaks through feeling. This is not my favorite one because we also know that the Bible says that the heart is deceptive, right? God can give us this peace that surpasses all understanding that can come over a believer when they land upon what God's calling them to do or through a hard circumstance.
So check this. whenever I have something cool to add, I'll say, so check this. So in the Bible, people knew about the heart. So they knew that the heart was an organ in the chest, same life, right?
Mm-hmm.
They knew all about, each culture had different concepts on how the body works, but the ancient Israelites didn't have any concept for the brain.
Right.
They didn't know what the brain was, so all their feeling and understanding came from their heart.
Right.
So they know with their heart, and you make decisions with your heart, but they do know that the heart, is also an organ because it talks about a heart attack, navel.
Right.
When he was stupid. It's fine. His name literally means fool.
So, yes, this is true. And what I will say is this, is that as a person, it's really interesting because I know that we think with our brain. I know this.
Well, Disney doesn't.
Okay. But.
Follow your heart.
But it is really interesting, though, because when I feel something, I do feel it in my heart. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
My gut feelings come from my core. And so, so it's interesting that they felt that way, and I can totally see why. Now, I don't even like to bring this one up because we know that our heart can be very deceptive, right? except it's like all over in the Bible. And sometimes major decisions are made because they feel right. Okay. And I know that
kind of like David, trying to build the temple.
Well, David was told not to build the temple, but it wasn't his
pastor.
Yeah. It wasn't his heart to do so. Okay. But then we find other times where like big decisions are made because they feel right. So in this case, now we're not talking about just feeling peace, but sometimes it just feels good is this is how the Bible describes it. Twice I can remember this happening in Acts, this phraseology. The one that I pulled up here is Acts 15:28. There's this big discussion amongst all the apostles, and they're talking about whether or not Gentile believers are supposed to adhere to the entire law and get circumcised. It's a pretty big commitment to get circumcised. But we were even talking about the importance of circumcision as a symbol of the old covenant, because we were talking about Moses. My daughter had put on the Ten Commandments, like the 1960s Charleston Heston version, and was enjoying that while she was recovering from her procedure yesterday. And I was talking to Cross about how it was important that they noted that Zipporah didn't want her children to take the circumcision, which was the sign of the new covenant, or the covenant with God, the Mosaic covenant, and that she came from a lineage
of Ishmael.
Ishmael. Because
she was an Ishmaelite.
Yes. So she was a Moabite, but Moab was one of the countries that were populated by the children of Ishmael. And so interesting that it was noted because Ishmael never entered into that covenant with God that was, reserved for Isaac and his children. So interesting. And so now they're discussing, are the Gentiles supposed to keep all of the religious rites that the Jewish people do? Are they supposed to get circumcised? And tell me what Acts 15:28 says. This is a crazy wording to me.
It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements.
Yeah, like God didn't speak from heaven. There was no thunder and lightning. There was no rumbles. There was no earthquakes.
There's no rumble and temple.
Everybody just kind of agreed, and they felt that the Holy Spirit was in accordance with them. Okay? This isn't the only time it happens in Acts. That's a pretty major decision. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a big deal. On top of that, do you know the other time that it happens in Acts? Do you know what they were trying to decide? Which way to go on a mission trip. And it just seemed good to the Holy Spirit to go this way.
No, it didn't.
I mean, it did, actually. It worked out well for them. But that's interesting. So here's what I'm going to say about this.
You have to put the words in the Holy Spirit's mouth.
I mean, I didn't look up that particular reference, but I promised you it's there. Okay, so check this out. Like, sometimes you're just like, I don't know, I have a piece about it, and it feels like God wants me to do this. Okay? And that's not unbiblical. I wouldn't necessarily want to use it as my only way to discern God's word, but it's not unbiblical at all, okay? Another way that God can speak to us is through prayer. Have you ever been in prayer and felt all of a sudden that you have this need to pray for someone specifically or to pray over a specific situation that you're like, is that even a thing? Like, maybe I don't even know it exists. Have you suddenly gained new wisdom or understanding or conviction through prayer?
This is really cool. The Israel, whatever, Palestine thing.
Okay.
I was told to pray for Israel.
Uh-huh.
Like a week before that happened.
That's interesting, isn't it? Huh. So definitely sounds like God was aligning you to start praying, mm-hmm. right, for the protection of people. And I don't get real politically involved in this show, but we care about people, right?
We do care about people.
We care about people. We want to make sure that all the people are safe. Okay. So how about this? God can speak through music or worship.
That's fun.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, had a time in your life where you're just desperate to hear from God and you turn on the radio or showed up for a worship service and God spoke the words you needed to hear through the music?
I remember there's a few times, actually, where I needed the lyrics to the song and my mouth just started moving.
Okay.
To the lyrics of the song. I was like...
Interesting. Very interesting.
Like confused eyes and just lightning fast lips. I didn't even know what I was doing. I was like, I do not know this song.
Huh. Isn't that interesting? Okay. So a lot of times, like, and you'll even hear people say that they were saved by this. Like, they were, you know, suicidal or they were just really depressed or whatever. They turn on the radio and it happened to turn on to, you know, a song that the message of the song just spoke and ministered to their heart. So there's lots of other ways that God can speak to us, too. Some of them are even accounted for in the Bible. Can you think of any other ways, just right off the top of your head? After I wrote the sermon, I was like, oh, I didn't say about this, so we'll mention it, but if you don't come up with it.
I'm deep in thought.
I'm over here wiggling around. No? Nothing off the top of your head? Okay, I'll talk about the one that I have in mind, and then if you come up with another one, then we can talk. Okay. So,
I just need to hear your example.
Often in the Bible, they do some crazy things. And one of the ones that still blows my mind is when they cast lots.
Oh, like, on the boat with Jonah.
Multiple times. It happens a lot in the Bible, like a lot more than you would think. Major decisions, and we're rolling dice over it. Okay, so casting lots is a game of chance, basically. It would be the equivalent of saying, well, let's just roll the dice, and if it's, you know, if the number is over 12, or, you know, over 6, then we'll do this, and if it's under 6, we'll do this. Like, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, the would make it a statistically even thing.
Like odd or even or something like that.
Right, if the number's odd, we'll do this. If the number's even, we'll do this. Amazing how many decisions.
I don't know if they have a concept of that yet. But.
Right? Land distribution in Israel, determined by casting lots.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's a pretty big decision.
Isn't that how they got their name? Because Abraham and Lot cast the
lots. No, it just happens,
cool.
You know.
That would be cool.
But amazing how often they use a game of chance to determine.
Wait, like life-altering decisions?
Yes, like huge decisions, big decisions. Oh, my goodness. So, anyway, that's the whole thing. I keep moving the mic closer and closer to Cross, who's trying to move further and further away because I'm afraid he can't be heard. So, casting lots. I have actually heard of people, and I've seen this. Now, this isn't a biblical example because they couldn't have. But based on the fact that casting lots is a thing, they probably would have. I'm not going to lie. But I know people who have literally just been praying about something, opened a book of scripture, with their eyes closed, put their finger on it, and read that scripture as God's answer. I have totally seen that happen from people who are pretty spiritual. And they're like, I don't know, I can't determine it. Let's just open up the Bible randomly and say. Can you think of any other ways, or are you just trying to harass me at this point?
I try to harass you.
I'm
going to
kick Cross off the show. No, it's on me.
Get it off.
Okay, so anyway, I have this like nailed down underneath the table here and everything, so he can't really get it. Okay.
I was just like right there. Okay.
So can you think of any other ways that God talks to people?
Snatch my blanket snatcher. Blanket snatcher. You were talking about how he'll send other people.
Yeah.
And he'll talk to the actual person. Sometimes he'll do both. He'll talk to the person and then send that person to you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, and then there's also, to clarify also the supernatural manifestations,
Like the guy with Paul.
Guy with Paul. Oh, Anais.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he empowers Anais to heal Paul, too, which is a whole thing. Okay. So another thing that I think is pretty cool, we're talking about those supernatural manifestations, those disruptions to nature to make sure that you see God's power. Think about Gideon with, you know, that whole do with the fleece. And I think it was Joshua who asked God to make the sun move backwards in the sky for an hour.
No, he asked it to freeze in the sky.
To freeze in the sky.
Yeah, because he wanted to win a battle.
Right. He was like, I need a little bit more time. Give me a few more hours.
It was the king who made it go backwards.
Oh, okay. So like, there's clearly some examples here of God disrupting nature to be able to communicate with his people. So here's another question, okay? The world's kind of noisy.
That's
what
it was. Huh?
Hezekiah.
He was.
So,
ish.
He was pretty good those last couple of years.
The last couple of years,
He was supposed to die, though. He was supposed to die. He should just let bygones be bygones, okay? When it's your time, it's your time. Okay, so anyway.
Please spare me, Isaiah! Like,
it would have been perfect if he just... Go out a winner, y'all. Go out a winner. Okay, anyway. So the world is a pretty noisy place. And there's so many external voices constantly vying for our attention. And on top of that, there are all these voices and desires of our own internal conversation. How can we possibly know which one is God?
I've struggled with that so much.
Well, we'll talk about it then. Okay, this is going to be good. Okay, so John 10:14 says that, and this is Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So that's like a biblical promise that we can know God's voice. We can discern it. We're not trying to do something impossible here. The good news is that the Bible promises that we will know God's voice when he speaks to us. But how can we be sure that we're hearing him? I recognize the voice of those I love on the phone. So I'm talking to my dad the other day, and we were talking about, like, how do you know it's the voice of God? And I said, well, you become familiar with God. And when you're familiar with God, you just know. Like, if my dad calls me.
If you don't call him, he will send you a text, and at the end of the text, he will say, love, Papa.
Right. He's not aware that the cell phone will tell me it's him, right? Because I have his number saved. But even if, okay, so those
Thanks
old folks. Right. So some of us are old folks, and we remember before you had caller ID on landline phones, and you were just playing Russian roulette. Like, you were just playing Russian roulette. Like, if someone called you, you answered the phone, and I'm about to scare my son. You had no idea if the person on the other end was the IRS, a bill collector, your best friend, or your dad. You had no idea who was on the other end. You just had to, like, pick up the phone and say hello. Yeah, you just had to pick up the phone and say hello. It was much more satisfying to hang up on people back then. But
I'm through with you. Beep. I'm through with you.
Yeah, when you slammed a phone down, if you had one with a real bell, if you slammed it down hard enough, every once in a while you get that bell to jingle inside. You're like, yeah, that'll show you. But my dad, even if I didn't have caller ID, when he calls me and I say hello, I hear his voice and I know his voice. He doesn't have to say, hey, it's your dad. He doesn't have to tell me that. I already know because I know his voice. I've been talking to my dad on the phone from time to time since I was a little girl. I recognize his voice. And that's the case with knowing God's voice is, sometimes, especially in the beginning, it'd be hard to know that it's God. But as we learn his voice, as we speak to him more and more, over time, we know his voice, and it's a little easier to discern. Okay? We are those sheep that know the shepherd's voice. But let's talk about a few ways, practical ways, in the meantime, that we can discern his voice. Number one is we have to know his word, right? it's pretty easy to test to know God's word and to know its context. God does not contradict himself, and he never changes. So if you're hearing something that's contrary to his word, you better take a second listen. This is probably not from God. Now, an example, okay, so if you, and of course you're too young for this right now, okay, but if somebody was like, I want to date this girl, but she's married, okay, and then you find, I heard somebody had found a random verse or something that said that to make the woman yours, okay. Now, wait a minute. That is in contrast with the broad overarching sentiment that the Word of God has towards marriage, and that is that marriage is sacred and no one should come between a husband and wife, right? Okay, and so we don't do that because the broad overarching understanding of God's Word is that it may be contrary to our desires, but the marriage is sacred, and we step back and allow God to work through that. It's kind of like knowing how to discern a counterfeit bill. Now, I used to work in retail for a long time, and I was in management as well, so I would break down the drawers. I handled a lot of money, okay? Like, not as much as a banker, but a lot of money in my day. And so I can tell you I can spot a counterfeit bill. I've actually taken one and given it back to someone before. And told them that we couldn't take it because, and I didn't even get so far. They make these special markers that you can mark on the bill to tell whether or not they're counterfeit. I didn't even get that far. Like, I touched the bill, and I looked at it for a second, and I was like, that's not real. Okay? And there are several ways to know whether or not a dollar bill is real. And to be honest, I probably couldn't discern a counterfeit dollar. But $20 and up, I could. A $20 bill, a $50, $100. You see what I'm saying?
So mom's trick was if people just hand you, like, a stack of $100 counterfeits, they probably don't know that they have counterfeit money.
No. So if they have a stack of counterfeits, they probably know they're counterfeits.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
Okay. But you know, so it's not necessarily...
They have, like, one,
It's not necessarily... It's not necessarily that you know, they know all the time. Like, they may have been given a counterfeit that someone else didn't catch along the way. Do you see what I'm saying? But money has a particular feel to it. The paper, it's really a linen, and it has a feel to it. Do you see what I'm saying? It just feels different from regular paper. There are watermarks that you can look for. In the newer currency, when I was growing up, they didn't have this, but in the newer currency, they actually have a plastic strip that is bonded into the paper that can be seen in light. There are different parts of the bill that you can look at to see if the serial numbers and everything match. There are intricate details that are woven into a lot of the artwork in the dollar bill that won't be there if it's a counterfeit, okay? For example, I think it was on the 20, there's like on the, I want to say it is the Supreme Court building on the back. I'm not sure which building it is, but all of the states' names are written into the building's artwork. So just by looking at the bill, if you're familiar with the bill and what it's supposed to look like, you should be able to discern a fake, okay? I never learned all the different ways that you could counterfeit a bill. If I tried, it would have been too much information, and it would have been immediately outdated because I promise you, the very next day, somebody would have come up with a new way to counterfeit a bill, right? But because I knew what the original really looked like, and I was so familiar, I had taken so many $20, $50, and $100 bills in my time working retail, I was so familiar with those bills that I could discern immediately a fake. And it was interesting because while I was working retail, they actually changed the bills, and I had to relearn what the new ones really looked like and felt like so I could make sure that I was taking the right thing. In the same way, we can tell a counterfeit word from God if we know God's voice intimately. We don't have to know every falsehood and every lie that Satan might want to throw at us. We just need to know God's truth really, really well. A second way is wise counsel. Often, if I'm making a big decision, I'll ask others who are experienced in hearing God's voice to join me in prayer. I may ask them to be specific about praying for a certain situation, but if I've already heard from God, I won't tell them what God has spoken. That way, what they come to me with can be something that potentially would confirm what God is speaking to me. So if I'm like, hey, you know, I have an issue, it has to do with my finances, and I'm wondering if you could pray over this situation for me, just join me in prayer. And if God speaks anything to you, let me know. And maybe I'm looking at a specific business to see whether or not it's a good investment. And I feel like God's given me a green light, but I want an extra confirmation that this is the direction I should go in. Then maybe one of my friends comes to me and says, hey, God said something about a business that you are looking at and says that this is a great way. Now this is a confirming word because I didn't tell them that's what I was looking at. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm allowing God to fill in all those details. Thirdly, his ways are not my ways. If you've ever really heard from God, a lot of times his plans don't sound like my idea. They don't sound like something I want to do. They don't sound like something that is incredibly logical at the moment. Sometimes it actually kind of flies in the face of what logic is. I'm kind of thinking about like Joshua walking around the walls of Jericho. I'm pretty sure nobody in their right mind would ever have come up with that as a battle plan. You know, and then we're not going to do anything. We're just going to yell really loud and blow the trumpets and the walls are going to come down. That makes sense. You know what I mean? It's definitely not one of those plans that I would have come up with on my own. And very often that's the case. Very often God will tell me to wait when I'm thinking about doing something that I feel like is going to be of benefit, and he'll tell me to hold off and wait and trust him, and in the end, everything ends up working out without me having to lift a finger, you know. And so very often his plan doesn't sound like something that I would want to do. So if the plan seems very unlike what I would think to do myself, it's worth taking a little closer look and finding another way to confirm it. There may be other ways to discern God's voice, but watch for these. They're really important. If godly counsel is warning you consistently against some action, if it was what you really wanted anyway, or especially if it is against God's word, you want to steer clear of that. So that is it for our teaching right now. I think we can cut to commercial break and we can do the Q&A, okay?
Mm-hmm. Let Dad have something to say.
Let Dad have something to say. We'll come back in just a minute.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to WeFunder.com/GroundswellCard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today. And get.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now. So why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marti.com carries high quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marti.com. Marti.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marti.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marti.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and keep those landfills light, and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marti.com.
All right. Well, we're back for the question and answer portion of the show.
Where I will be hiding.
Where you will be hiding. No, I need your help for this part.
Uh-uh.
Okay. So we do have a chat room open right now, but I wanted to talk just a little bit about the teaching. Can you think of any instances where God has spoken to you? What method did he use to speak to you at that time?
Whisper.
Okay, so can you get close to the mic so we can hear a little more about that? So
whisper.
So God has used a whisper before in order to be able to make you aware of what he was saying. Is that the only method that he's used with you?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what you've heard so far.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I can think of instances. Usually that whole still small voice thing, that whisper that you're talking about is pretty typical. I can say I've had discernment where he's allowed me to see into the spiritual realm. I know this is the thing because it happens to, and I don't remember, maybe you can help me with this. Is it Elisha? Elisha was facing an army, and his armor bearer was really, really scared.
That was Elisha.
And Elisha says that those who are with us are greater than those who are against us. And it was like the two of them.
Yeah.
And like a army, like two of them and an army. So
and the third,
naturally,
the
armor bearer is confused, right?
Probably thinks he's crazy.
I mean, you know, the prophets are a little nuts. Okay, so... So he,
I mean, there's John the Baptist.
They're all a little whack, right? So, and then God, Elijah prays that the armor bearer's eyes would be open. So he's not praying for the armor bearer to get a vision. He's praying for his eyes to be open so that he can discern what's happening in the spiritual realm versus what's happening in this physical realm that we see. And suddenly, what happens when his armor bearer, when his eyes are open? Do you remember?
He saw all the armies of the Lord.
Yeah, he saw the army of angels, right? Way scarier than whatever was down there, right? So
I remember there's this one story where God sent one angel with one flaming sword to demolish an entire army. If there's an army of those,
yeah,
that's like two armies.
Yeah, you don't need help. You're fine. Okay. And so what's interesting about that story is that it never says that Elisha could see the army.
I wonder if he just trusted God or if he could see the army in hindsight.
I have questions when I get to heaven. Like, could he see the army or did he just know they were there and, like, wanted the armor bearer to see the army? Like, that's an interesting question to me. So, okay. So can you think of any other methods that God can use to speak to people?
Oh, he can transport them places like he did with Ezekiel, I believe.
Ezekiel? I think he just gave Philip.
No, well, yeah, that him too.
That was a whole thing.
But with the bones. Like all of them getting up. I think I'm right. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know enough about that story to really speak on that one. I need to review that one. I'm going to be honest. The one that I was thinking of was when Philip was speaking to the eunuch, and he baptizes him, and then all of a sudden God, like, puts him in a totally different region of the world. You know, like, probably where Star Trek gets their whole concept of the transporters, right? But, yeah, so, I mean, I guess that's a thing, too. Like, haven't had that happen, goodness.
That would be...
That'd be insane! I'm going to be honest.
I think
I might lose my mind at that point. I'm not ready for this trip. I was not prepared. Okay. I like to have my bag packed and have my snacks in order. You know what I mean? And you have to have my snacks. So one of the instances I'm thinking of that I have heard people say, that God speaks to them, but God's not used this method with me, okay, is, repeated occurrences. So sometimes it's like a number. Like, every time I see the number 12, it reminds me of this time that the Lord spoke to me some sort of message that was associated with the number 12. And every time I see the number 12, when I need to be reminded of that, I see it everywhere. I see a 12 on the wall. I see a 12 on the clock. I see a 12 written on paper. And it's like God is using that number to bring my memory back to where he spoke to me. I haven't really had that particular thing happen to me, but I could see where that would happen.
Oh, the writing on the wall. That's another way.
Yeah, that was a thing.
That was crazy.
Right? That was the thing. That was, a big old hand of God writing on the wall, but I don't know, with his finger, with a chisel. I don't know how he wrote on the wall.
Well, actually, here's something funny. He wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger, so I would assume that, like, it would
be with his finger. It was his finger or with his own hand. I don't know.
I just feel like lightning comes from his finger.
That is super cool.
Right?
I don't know. I've never seen God write anything, but he can, clearly he can write something to communicate, right? Have you?
I wonder if God can, like, write at lightning speed, but he just, like, did it super slow for dramatic effect.
Right? I mean, you'd want the people to know that it was from him, right? Okay, and then the last question, is it easy for you to discern God's voice? And if so, how do you know it's him?
It used to be hard, but now it's pretty easy for me.
Okay.
Because now I can, like, discern whether or not it's him.
Is that just from practice and knowing his voice, or?
Because it happened a few times, and I eventually, like, drew the line between my imagination and God.
Sometimes,
that wild imagination.
Okay. Sometimes I actually have to, like, pray and ask God to quiet my own thoughts because my head is a very busy place. I have a lot of thoughts going on all the time, and it can be a little chaotic, just like I am a little chaotic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it can be hard to tell if it's me thinking something or if it's God speaking something. And so we'll actually pray and ask for God to quiet my mind and to quiet all external voices so that I can hear him clearly. Also, just so you're aware, if you're having trouble hearing from God and discerning his voice, and it is really busy, a great way to be able to resolve that is to go through a period of fasting. fasting starves the fleshly desire. It helps to keep the flesh at bay so that you're more open to spiritual things and able to discern those. So that's another method that you could use. Mister, did you have anything else to add about hearing God's voice before we end today's show?
Don't get a boulder dropped on your head.
Don't get what?
A boulder dropped on your head.
Don't get a boulder dropped on your head.
That happened in Judges.
Okay. Am I supposed to pray specifically over that instance so I don't get a boulder? Okay. Apparently we're supposed to pray specifically not to have a boulder dropped on our head. Anything else, a wise one?
Don't call me a wise one.
No, I mean, are you a wise one or a wise guy?
Wise guy.
Oh, he's a wise guy. Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. We hope you have a wonderful day. I think we've got to pray in. Let's pray out so we can have an opportunity to pray over our audience real quick.
Lord God, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you did for us. Thank you that we had a good show. Thank you that Mom covered the extra airtime. or the airtime that we didn't actually have, but whatever. We just pray that next week's show goes just as well, and that the new radio shows will hopefully get up and started after we're done with this one. Just name it, amen.
Amen, and thank you for giving me an opportunity to seek revenge and to take back my blanket, in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Wait. No boulders dropped on anyone's head.
And no boulders dropped on anyone's head. All right, guys, watch those boulders, and you guys have a great week. God bless. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.